We're going to be talking about the National Federation of the Blind Writers Division. I used to be the president of it. So it's kind of dear to my heart. And I've got a good friend that's going to, I'm going to be introducing you to here pretty quick. Shelley.
Thank you, Robert. Very much. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Shelley Alonji, and I currently live in North Texas. I moved here 5 years ago from California, and I'm going to talk to you today about writing as a hobby. I didn't realize I was such a writer till I started preparing this presentation. I said, oh, I guess I really do this. So I'm the one in the room that doesn't panic when the lights go out because I can do everything in the dark. I'm totally blind. I've been blind since I was 2 years old. I had cancer of the retinas. So by the time I was 2 years old, I was functioning without sight. So everything I learned to do without seeing it. And I still learn that way. Sometimes people teach me things and sometimes I learn them on my own. Well, today we're talking about writing. And ever since I was a young child, I knew I wanted to write a novel. I don't know exactly when I knew that, but by the time I was in the first grade, I had started making up stories in my head about animals that lived underground. I read my first book called A Letter to Amy from the National Library Service. And after that, I just started making up stories, and I'd go jump rope in my recess time and make up stories. And then I'd go sit down at my heavy metal Perkins Braille writer, and I'd write them down. So I started learning Braille at a pretty young age. And that went on for a while. By the time I was in the sixth grade, I had learned to type on the Smith Corona. I had a Smith Corona on my desk. So I was probably still writing stories then. Then when I got to high school, I said, okay, I'm in high school now. So I wrote a story. I read my first Taylor Caldwell novel, and Taylor Caldwell is very complex. And I decided that I didn't like the way she dispensed with two characters from one of her novels called Time No Longer. So I decided I was going to rewrite the story. Well, I sat down and I rewrote her story and typed it on my Perkins Braille writer. And if you know anything about a Perkins Braille writer, there's a little slot in the back. And that's where you change the margins for the left and right hand carriage. And I would put paper in that right hand side to block the bell because I was going to wake everybody up at night because I was always writing at night. So I did that. I then decided that it was time for me to rewrite this story. Not only that, I was going to type it. So I typed the story and I wrote it all out. And this was not a short story. So I was reading line by line and typing because I do everything that way when I'm writing, whatever I'm writing, if it's an academic thing or a story. Then I wrote a story about a Russian spy. Well, I wrote this story after this KAL airline was shot down in 1983. And I have a really interesting story to tell you about that. I was looking at my presentation and I said, okay, what am I going to talk about? And I decided to talk about that story. And I said, well, when was that plane shot down again? And last night I picked up a magazine on my iPhone from Bard, and I said, and it was Foreign Affairs. And guess what they were talking about? The KAL. And I said, what? I needed that piece of information. I found out that that was in 1983. So I would have written this story in 1983. Then I decided that I was going to type it. So I did that and I gave it to my eighth grade teacher and my reading teacher. And he said, you have stories about relationships. Yeah, okay, I do. I write stories about relationships. So by the time I got to high school, I was using the Perkins Braille writer. I was using the typewriter, whether electric or manual. And I was using I wasn't using a laptop yet. But at that time, I got introduced to the Apple IIe when I was in high school. So that would have been my last year in high school. I remember being a senior because I had written papers for classes using the typewriter. I would sit down at the typewriter and turn on the TV and let the TV run and type and hope I was getting it right. I got it right most of the time. But I got introduced to that computer and we connected it to an Echo synthesizer. And I don't remember the name of the software, but we put that together and I wrote that. And I decided that I was going to write another story. I had a teacher that she wanted us to write for 5 minutes when we came in from lunch. So I wrote for 5 minutes. I would write stories about books I was reading, or I would write stories about people that I admired at the time. And I decided, I wrote this story, said, what would happen if Abraham Lincoln and Peter Schilling ended up in a taxi cab together? You might say, who in the heck is that? Well, We know who Peter, well, we know who Abraham Lincoln is. Peter Schilling was a pop singer, a German pop singer. I think he still produces. I was actually looking him up the other day, but he wrote this song called Major Tom, and that was out in high school. And I said, I'm going to write a story. So I don't have any of the stories I've been telling you about. I don't have any of those stories yet or still, but I graduated from high school. And, you know, I still wish I had some of those because I'm sure my sentence structure has changed a lot. Well, I got to college and I was selling coffee and donuts for a Christian club, and I got this. A gentleman came up to me during one of the class breaks and he said, you have to meet Jeff. And I said, okay, so bring Jeff over here. So Jeff came over during one of the breaks, and Jeff was a really nice guy with a wife and two children. And he had just taken over our access lab at Cal State Fullerton. That's where I went to college. And he said, I have a computer and a software program called JAWS. So I want you to come over and I can teach you how to look to communicate with your computer or with the screen. It's not a voice dictation. It's speech off the computer screen. So I said, okay, I went over there and he taught me that. And that was, I had way too much fun with that. I was writing everything. I still was writing stories, but by that time I was pretty much writing academic things. So I learned how to use JAWS. And by the time I got out of college, we had graduated to JAWS for Windows. And then I went to my first NFB convention in 1990. I think I decided it was 1991. It might have been 1993. So I went to this, and one of the first people I met, and Robert knows her because we gave her a Lifetime Achievement Award. Her name was Lori Stair, and Lori, I met her at breakfast. I have no idea how I met her, how we even got introduced to each other. But she said she was in the NFB Writers Division. I said, I didn't even know you had a Writers Division. Well, I went to the meeting, and I checked out the Writers Division meeting and found out that they were running a contest for fiction. Well, I had written a story about a guy, a gentleman, a German SS officer in Nazi Germany that saved Jews. So I went and wrote it's called One Winter Day, and you can actually read it. It's on storymania.com. I have a bunch of writing published there. Oh, yeah, did I tell you by the time I was using the internet? So I was uploading things to the internet. So you can see that I was using everything, using the Braille writer, the typewriter, the computer, software. Heck, I was even using a slate and stylus. I have a slate and stylus on my desk in front of me right now, and a Bluetooth keyboard and two iPhones. Oh, I think you know where this is going. Well, anyway, I took this story. It's called One Winter Day, and I typed it up, and I entered it into the contest, and heck, I won the contest. So life went on. I went to work, and I had still, remember I said I wanted to write a novel? Well, I still wanted to write a novel, but I didn't have any time. Till about 5 years ago, about three years before I moved out of California, which was about 8 years ago now, I got interested in the railroad. So I was talking to one of the railroad engineers, and when I left California, I said, I'm going to write that book. Well, I started writing that book before I left California. So when I left California, he said, are you still working on that damn book? Because I was talking about it. I said, yeah, I am. So when I got here in North Texas, all of a sudden I had no full-time job. I was still involved with the writer's division. I had a couple of things I was going to do. So I made my plans, moved here, got involved with the writer's division again, and finished the book. Well, since that time, I've written three more books, novels. They're 200 plus pages. I've written a collection of poetry, and I've also written what I call a story in three parts. It's about Christ and Gethsemane. I know I write about interesting subjects. I really do, because the first novel I wrote was about the railroad, and it was about an engineer, but we were using the railroad as a backdrop. So along came the writer's division again. I was kind of involved with it on and off for the last 20 years when I was an academic student and when I was working for Disney. By the time I got here to Texas, I was all of a sudden working as a church musician again, and I had lots of time to write. So I did all that writing, and guess what else I did? I became the president of the writer's division. Now I organized the contest that I won 20 plus years ago. And so since I'm the president of the writer's division, I now get to organize and edit the newsletter. And that means that I use every bit of technology that I can get my hands on. I haven't graduated to an electronic Braille note taker yet, but you know, eventually, I used one for a little while. I bought it, I think, from a Braille Monitor article or something. It didn't last very long, but it was okay. But I still use the computer. I use the internet to look up things when I'm writing. I used my Braille writer to write notes. And I'm actually holding a notebook right now in my hand with a, there's a stylus and a pen, not a pen, a slate here. But I must be nervous because my hands are like holding on to the paper. I'm like John F. Kennedy. He was always nervous. I read that in a book one time and I said, I'm really glad he was nervous. But that's where I am right now in my writing life. I am actually getting ready to work on a fifth novel. I've had the ideas on paper for a year. It's actually got a beginning, middle, and end. And next month is November, which is National Novel Writing Month. And that's NaNoWriMo.org. And I will sit down and work on that and fill it out and see if I can actually draft it. So that's where I am at this point. I'm president of the Writers Division, and you can see our site. We're at writers.nfb.org, and you can contact me by email. You can actually go buy my books if you want to, or if you're a member of Bookshare, you can go read my books. So as you can tell, I kind of went from imagining stories in my head to getting on the internet and writing stories, and I write lots of other things. So I'm finished with this part. Does anybody have questions?
Yeah, shall we?
No, we are halfway through, so go ahead.
I'd like to ask recommendations for like a good style guide. Maybe I want to submit articles to magazines or publications for approvals, or like a good style guide to kind of show me the standards.
I can never remember the name of the recommended one.
But you know who to ask. You know who to ask. That's not me. Don't forget you have a listserv of writers, and some of them are very published and very competent, so they know. So,
you know, the Writers Division has a lot of people that have published mainstream, a lot of people that have self-published. Well, there's one guy that I was talking to that used to come to work with us. He was he had written a couple of articles. I want to say E.B. White, but that's not E.B. White. If you go on Bard, write style guide in there, or grammar, and also Google it too. It'll let you know. There's a couple of big ones, and they are both escaping my name notice. However, here's a really important thing to do if you're wanting to do magazine articles for publication. At every magazine I've ever contacted or read about or gone online and looked, they say this: go look at the guidelines and they'll tell you what they are looking for, and they'll even give you some grammar points.
We'll have to do a lot of press releases and things like that. So
then you have some knowledge about how to do that a little, you have at least a start. Have you done one before?
Oh, yeah, I do them. I do for the various state affiliates, press releases, and sometimes I'll
take. Are you Chris?
No, my name is Michael Law. I do rewrite some of the national ones and put them up on the state WordPress sites. And because I've changed the wording a little bit, sometimes they show up higher on Google than the national ones. So I'm doing something right.
Yeah, it must be the way they have the search priorities organized. Any other questions? I think Robert has a resource guide for you too. I sent him an email yesterday, so I don't know how that's going to happen.
There at the end, Shelley Koppel is putting it together, and I need to just do a few polishing things. So they will get your contact information, and they will get your short piece about the Writers Division, and also you have a listing in there about the books and where to find your books.
Okay, we do have Carol has a question or comment.
I'm always full of questions. I've been writing poetry ever since I was probably 9 or 10 years old. I had a poem published in the Birmingham News when I was 10. It was about an ice storm and that we had on New Year's Day. But my husband is after me all the time to get things into a volume of poetry and to get them illustrated. Do you all, I'm not a member of the Writers Division, but I keep meaning to become a member because I need the encouragement and the inspiration and just the exchange of ideas. But I've never tried to publish anything myself. I mean, does the group talk about all this publishing stuff and how to find illustrators and that sort of thing?
We do. First of all, if you go to writers.nfb.org, if you click on there's a PayPal link there. You can join us. It's $10 a year, or you can send a check. And I wrote all that information down, and I didn't double check the zip code. So let me make sure I have that Sean zip code right. We have a lot of people that have worked with self-publishing companies. Actually, I published my first book called Trespasser. It was published on Lulu.com, which is one of the sites that another lady in our writers division had actually published using that site. So I actually got my start self-publishing from the writers division. So we do talk about that kind of stuff. If you go to some of the self-publishing websites, they'll always have resources for you, especially if you go to Inkit. And I included all that in the resource list. Anything that writers do at the division, we take everybody. We have people who've never published, people that are kind of getting their feet wet. And then we have a professor that used to be an art professor. And she's a shameless self-promoter. So we do have a lot of ideas and people with a lot of different experiences.
I want to say that there's an excellent guide to writing different kinds of poetry on Bard. And I can't remember.
It's a Robert Lee Brewer book.
Maybe. It describes all the various forms.
Yeah, it's a Robert Lee Brewer book.
Okay.
Because one of our members on our board, Barbara Hamill, she was interested because Robert Lee Brewer does a lot of work for the Writer's Digest. And he actually wrote that book, and it is on Bard. It's called Right Now or something. I may have it on that list.
Okay.
If you give us your email address, or I'll put you in touch with some resources. And
great.
We're having our last call of the year on Sunday night. The Writers Division has a phone call every month, 10 months out of the year. When I became president last year, I decided we were taking a break in November and December because I get busy in those months. And I work for the churches around here to do music, so I just got extra things going on.
Yeah.
I keep telling them, I keep saying, if you guys want to do a call, you do it. So they haven't taken me up on it yet. So I'm trying to get them to take on some more responsibility, but you know how that goes. But, you know, you're welcome to join us anytime. Anybody can contact us and we'll get you in touch with what we do and how we do it.
And one way to communicate with these people is through their listserv. And if you go to nfbnet.org, and that's where you'll find all the listservs that the Federation has, and you can join, the Writers Division's listserv. And I see questions there all the time and people giving suggestions. There are people there have them sample some of your work, give you suggestions. There's just a lot of knowledge there. So those calls are great, and so is that listserv, because that's a daily thing. You can get some feedback.
Yeah, you mentioned Bard. There's a great book. It was put out in 1993. I'd love to find it actually in printed or electronic, but I think her name is Val Dumont. It's called Grammar for Grownups. It's just a great, to-the-point, no-nonsense, commas, semicolons, colons, apostrophes, just really good information. I'd love to find it in electronic format, but that's
a good one. Go look at Apple Books; they might have it.
Yeah, that's an idea. I've never used that resource.
So we have just a little over 4 minutes before we have to switch people here. So, what other questions out there, or other nuggets of wisdom, Miss Shelley?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how do you keep yourself motivated? That's sometimes what some of us need to do it.
I don't know. I don't motivate myself real well. I always, if you go look on the Story Mania, I have storymania.com website. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not my website, but I update my author profile up there. And one of the things it says is, I write when the spirit moves me. I get an idea in my head and somebody asked me one time, this is how I stay motivated, I guess. They said, and this wasn't too long ago, she said, is there anything you don't have an opinion about? And I kind of was a little bit shocked because I don't express my opinions very often. I just let people talk. I don't need to add to the stuff that's out there, but I thought, well, I do have opinions. So I started writing articles on things I have opinions about. That's my latest blog. So whenever I start thinking about something a lot, I thought, I need to write this. So I do write on Story Mania, and then on goodreads.com, I do have a blog. It's called, I think it's called Queen of Bells, Shell Bell, Queen of Bells. If you go to goodreads.com, if you look up my name, Shelley Alonji, you'll find me there too. I think you can find me everywhere.
All right, Shelley, would you read us your favorite poem?
No, I don't have any with me. I'm not a big poetry person.
And we got
there
one
are a lot of writers in our division who love poetry, so you would be in heaven doing that.
But you said you have one book of poetry, though.
I do. I do have a book of poetry. It's called Christ Crush. Okay. It was, let me see, I might have a copy of it over here.
You don't have one of those memorized, Miss Shelley?
Oh, Lord, no, honey. Okay. I stopped memorizing stuff after I left Disney.
So did you write your own version of The Night Before Christmas?
Oh, goodness. No, I've never done that. I even write less poetry than I write a lot of articles and fiction stories. I don't rewrite people's books anymore.
Oh, that's funny.
I got a great poem for you if you have a minute.
Okay,
Robert,
like
you all right?
2 minutes. Yep, 2 minutes.
Less than 2 minutes.
Okay, do it.
There once was an oyster whose story I tell, who found that some sand got under his shell. Just one little grain that gave him a pain, for you know oysters are so very plain. Now did he berate the workings of fate that brought him to such a deplorable state? Did he curse the government and cry for an election that the sea should give him protection? No, he said to himself as he lay on the shelf, since I can't remove it, I'll try to improve it. The years rolled around as years often do, and he came to his ultimate destiny, oyster stew. The morsel of sand which bothered him so was a beautiful pearl, all richly aglow. This tale has a moral, isn't it grand? What an oyster could do with a morsel of sand, and what couldn't we do if we just begin with all the things that got under our skin?
This is Shelley. I found the name of that book if anybody's interested, the one on Bard. It's called Write Poetry Now, W-R-I-T-E, by Robert Lee Brewer.
What I would say, people, if you're listening to all these hobbies this week and you think, well, I would never do that or have no interest in that, I think the takeaway is that if there's something you used to do and you've recently lost your eyesight, there's no reason you cannot go back and pursue those hobbies and things you love.
And even if you want to get into it, I mean, you can do it. You know, don't let your sight keep you from doing it. I mean, I do whatever comes to my head. If I, you know, like I said, I try everything.